This is The Nature of Things on WRVO. This episode first aired on May 25th, 1984.
Hi, I'm John Weeks, and this is The Nature of Things, a program about the world we live in, presented by FM 90 and the Rice Creek Field Station, a unit of the State University College at Oswego. We're in the midst of a thunderstorm right now. I don't know whether you can hear it in the background, but I thought it'd be kind of interesting, and it does take me back to the time when I was a GI in Texas, in the Texas Panhandle. We move inside and get away from the storm. One Panhandle phenomenon that really impressed me was a local thunderstorms. Watching one on a summer evening with its towering peaks looking like snow-capped mountains, it was easy to forget that this great package of nature's wrath is really simply a tower of ice crystals, water droplets, and dust particles, each too minute to be detected with the unaided eye. It's a fact, though, that the thunderhead, meteorologists call it cumulonimbus, is all water, wind, and dust. A local thunderstorm, so-called because it's isolated, not a part of some great low-pressure or frontal system, it's not a single cloud, but actually a complex of clouds. The more fanciful of meteorologists have been known to call it a factory of clouds or a factory of weather phenomena. Its principal feature is the large central thunderhead, often towering from, maybe 2,000 feet or 2,500 feet at the bottom to an excess of 30,000 feet at the top. This is over 6 miles in some cases. This is cloaked in a series of smaller, lesser clouds that are arranged in shelves and overhanging banks around it. Radiating from its anvil-shaped top is a fringe of wispy cirrus clouds. Far below, woolly, ragged patches and dull gray shelves form brackets around its midriff, while underlying its turbulent base, you can see this jagged mass of twisted storm clouds that mill along with it. This factory depends for its genesis on conditions of well-developed turbulence, very strong vertical currents, which can carry the warm, moist surface air rapidly aloft to cool and condense at the upper levels. The path of this ascent can readily be followed by watching the mushrooming tops of cumulus clouds on a warm summer day. If you do, you'll see how rapidly they grow. Often their growth seems almost explosive. The clouds grow by the condensation of moisture carried in the rising air. Within a developing cloud's a turmoil of updrafts. These are the machinery, while moisture and dust are the raw materials. They keep the cloud growing until its top is in cold air, far below freezing temperature. The wispy clouds of its anvil-like head are composed of ice crystals completely. Thus the stage is reached for the outstanding and most controversial of the products of a thunderstorm, thunder and lightning. To the ancient Greeks, the bolts of lightning were special weapons of Zeus by which his wrath was showered on wrongdoers. Even today, some people refer to thunder and lightning as the wrath of God. You may remember Rip Van Winkle found the thunder to be the bowling of the little men. Well, others will have it that it's the budding and colliding of the clouds together. But I think most high school freshmen know today that lightning is simply an oversized electric arc resulting from tremendous electrical charge within the cloud. Each water droplet or ice crystal has a positive or negative electrical charge, varying apparently according to the size of the droplets. Because of this variation, the charges are segregated in different portions of the cloud. Electricity arcs through the intervening atmosphere from one area of concentration to another of concentration of opposite charge. This may occur from cloud to cloud, within the cloud, from cloud to ground. That's what we usually see, the cloud to ground lightning. You may observe a similar phenomenon on a much smaller scale if you have a loose connection or a short circuit in an electrical appliance. Instead of the usual 115 volts, however, the difference in potential within the cloud may be as high as 15 million volts. Lightning, as it rushes through the air, causes heating so great that the air expands explosively, causing booms, crackles, and hisses, and that depends on how much the lightning is forked. Thunder, then, is the result of lightning, and hence follows it through the air. You can judge the distance from a storm to your vantage point by watching for the flash of the lightning and then counting the seconds until you hear the thunderclap. The rule of thumb is about 5 seconds per mile. 10 seconds between that first shining or bright lightning and the accompanying thunder would mean that the storm's about 2 miles away. Well, there are a lot more things I could tell you about thunderstorms and also their relatives, near relatives, the tornadoes, that experiences I've had with them, but there's not time for it today. So this is John Weeks saying that's all for today. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.